Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word and to share about your peace, your wonderful offer of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So the two candles that are lit are our hope and peace candles. And so this is the second week of Advent. And Advent comes from a Latin word that means arrival. Jesus' first coming was the arrival of God's Son, God's light into the world. And once again, the title of our devotional that we are following is The Heart of Christmas. And so I encourage you to follow it. It's written so that you can incorporate older children, younger children. It's really written in a well-planned way and gives some suggestions for things that you can do together as a family. So last week, we talked about the advent of hope and the reason there is hope at the heart of Christmas is not because of the gifts you're going to get, but it's because of the birth of Jesus Christ. And his arrival here on earth was the fulfillment of prophecy that was spoken hundreds of years ago. And it's because of God's faithfulness to bring about his word, his promises. He kept his word. And Jesus was born into the world. Our Savior has come. And that gives us confidence that we can place our hope in him. And no matter what we face, God is right on time. Somebody say he's right on time. God is right on time, and he will meet us in our time of need. So today we're going to take a look at the wonderful offer of peace. And these scriptures are scriptures that we shared last week, but we talked about how this is the most common passage that is read during this holiday season. So let's read it together. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there was only one person whose very life meant peace, and that is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah prophesied concerning the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6, and then he talks about how he will introduce a kingdom, a government of peace. I want to be in that kingdom. Amen? Amen. In the Strong's, the word peace in that passage means shalom. And it's peace to be complete, welfare, health, prosperity, to be sound, safe, and at rest. This is the government that the Prince of Peace oversees. Hallelujah. So the peace of God is really indescribable. Amen? It's indescribable. And it's something that we all crave. I believe every human being longs for peace. They want peace. But only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can give us the peace that passes our understanding and brings us in to a place of rest. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, when the scripture says it passes, that comes from a Greek word that means to hold oneself above, that is to excel, superior, superiority, better, excellency, higher, pass, supreme. So the peace of God excels above and is superior to our understanding. Now that makes me excited, because we try to figure things out. We get so stressed out. We try to understand things. But I'm telling you, the peace of God passes all of our understanding, meaning that in the midst of everything that's going on, we can have peace in God, even though we don't understand it, even though there's conflict, even though there's trouble, even though there's trials, we can have a peace that passes understanding. And then it says it will keep you. And that comes from a Greek word that means to be a watcher in advance. That is to mount guard as a sentinel, post spies at the gates, figuratively to hem in, to protect, to keep with a garrison. In other words, it's like having a soldier that is fully armed and dangerous watching over you. This is what this is talking about. A Roman soldier fully armed, watching over your gate, over your situation, over your life. He's going to hem you in and protect you. This is what God does. The peace of God will keep you on every side. And whenever we fully trust the Lord, there's peace. So if you do not have peace in a situation, then are you fully trusting the Lord to show you what needs to be done? Or trusting the Lord that He's going to take care of the situation? Are you trying to do it in your own strength? You've got to look. You've got to check your heart. We don't even know our own hearts until God shows us what's really in our hearts. That's why when people think, well, you know what? You need to just stop thinking, because you don't have a clue. That's the truth. You don't have a clue. We have no idea what's really going on in people's hearts. Only God knows those things, because we ourselves don't even know our heart ourselves. We might have hidden motives that we don't even realize that we're operating in until God pulls back the curtain and shows us. And then you're like, Lord, forgive me. I had no idea that's how ugly I was. Because we don't know what's in our heart. And it's probably a good thing, right? And just think, I always think when God shows me something, it's like, and Lord, you love me in spite of all that. You didn't kick me to the curb. You didn't give up on me. But at the right time, when our hearts are tender, when we're yielded to God, He will speak to us little things. And doesn't the scripture say the little foxes spoil the vine? Mm-hmm. So there's a peace that comes by putting everything in the hands of God, because He is the one who is able and He is willing to deliver us. So when we're able to do that, the peace that comes passes our understanding, and it keeps our hearts. Whenever we fully trust the Lord, there's peace. And I found an illustration that I wanted to share with you that I believe really illustrates this thought. And the author is unknown. But an artist was commissioned by a wealthy man to paint something that would depict peace. After a great deal of thought, the artist planned a beautiful country scene. There were green fields with cows standing in them, birds were flying in the blue sky, and a lovely little village lay in a distant valley. The artist gave the picture to the man, but there was a look of disappointment on his face. And the man said to the artist, "This isn't a picture of true peace. It isn't right. Go back and try again." So the artist went back to his studio, thought for several hours about peace, then went to his canvas and began to paint. When he was finished, there on the canvas was a beautiful picture of a mother holding a sleeping baby in her arms, smiling lovingly at the child. He thought, surely this is true peace, and hurried to give the picture to the wealthy man. But again, the wealthy man refused the painting and asked the painter to try again. The artist returned again to his studio. He was discouraged, and he was tired, and he was disappointed, and anger swelled up inside him. He felt the rejection of this wealthy man. Again, he thought. He even prayed for inspiration to paint a picture of true peace. Then, all of a sudden, an idea came to him. And he rushed to the canvas and began to paint as he had never painted before. And when he finished, he hurried to the wealthy man, and he gave the painting to the man. The man studied it carefully for several minutes, and the artist held his breath. Then the wealthy man said, "Now this is a picture of true peace." He accepted the painting, paid the artist, and everyone was happy. And what was this picture of true peace? The picture showed a stormy sea pounding against a cliff. The artist had captured the fury of the wind as it whipped. Black rain clouds, which were laced with streaks of lightning. The sea was roaring in turmoil, waves churning, the dark sky filled with the power of a furious thunderstorm. And in the middle of the picture, under a cliff, the artist had painted a small bird, safe and dry in her nest, snuggled safely in the rocks. The bird was at peace amidst the storm that raged about her. That's the peace of God that passes understanding, that is our gift from our Heavenly Father. Give the Lord a praise this morning. So the Christmas story in the Bible begins with an unlikely group of people. The first announcement of the arrival of Jesus in Bethlehem was given by a multitude of angels to a group of shepherds. They were out in the fields watching their flocks to keep them safe at night. And we're going to read that passage once again, a common passage. Luke 2. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Christ." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So in the first century, shepherds were considered lower individuals of society. They were said to be stinky and dirty, and often were thought to be untrustworthy because they lived out in the outskirts for months with their flocks. And it probably would have been shocking to the readers at the time that Luke was written that the people that God chose, those people, to make such an important announcement. And so the first point when we see this story about the peace of God is the peace of God is for all people. God is no respecter of persons. They had long awaited the coming of the Messiah, the one that had been promised to them. And so to come to the shepherds was just really amazing that God would go to them instead of going to the kings and the queens and those that were high in society. No, he went to those who were out in the fields, who were considered stinky and shared with them the good news that the Messiah was born. God is no respecter of persons. His peace is for everything and everyone. And peace is what the world really needs. And what the world really needs is people of God to have peace in their lives so that we take that peace with us wherever we go to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That in a world full of turmoil, you can find peace because you know the Savior, the Son of God, who is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So many times we have conflict in our families, conflict in relationships, and often conflicts with ourselves. But Paul was saying this in Colossians. The role that Jesus plays in making peace. Colossians 1:19-20. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1:21-22 says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Because Jesus Christ has made peace for us through the blood of his cross, we are reconciled to God and we are presented. Think about this. You are being presented holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight because of receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So being reconciled to God is the key to experiencing peace in every area of our lives. Hallelujah. So to understand peace that was ushered in at Christmas time, there's another aspect we need to understand, and that is that Jesus Christ was born in a cradle, but his life would lead to the cross. So Jesus intentionally lived a life and was a sinless life and was willing to give his life for you and I. So Paul said that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes peace between us and God. So Christ's sacrifice on the cross pays for the sin we committed. And it destroys the power of evil in our lives. And so today and every Sunday when we receive communion, I think of how receiving communion and remembering what Jesus Christ did for us destroys the work of the enemy in our life. It's our remembrance together. It is like a weapon of warfare. It is like a way of fighting back and pushing back the powers of darkness. It's like, oh no, Jesus Christ gave his life for me. Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. And therefore you are defeated. And today I recognize once again all that Jesus has done for me, that he has given me life and he has given me the victory because he has already conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he's already defeated the enemy. And we've got to get that down in our heart, down in our soul, so that nothing shakes us up, nothing moves us from our position of serving God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you reconcile us and you give us peace in the midst of everything going on. So we're going to the second point. The first point was the peace of God is for all people. The second one is Jesus reconciles us to God. So when we receive the gift of forgiveness that's offered by faith, we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross, we become friends with God. And he gives us his power to help us navigate through all the difficulties of life. Because God is the one that knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. So he already knows what you have need of. before you even ask, because he knows the end from the beginning. And I often think of salvation as a seed. You know, when you plant that seed in the ground, everything is in that seed that that plant needs to grow. The nourishment comes to cause that plant or that seed to grow up and become what it is supposed to be. And I believe that when we receive our salvation, we receive all that we need from the Lord. He does not withhold anything from us. It is a matter of nourishing our spirit, allowing God's word to wash over us, allowing time in God's presence that just begins to nourish us. The word is spirit, it's life, it feeds us. We need the word to cause everything he has planted in us at salvation to grow and to mature. But it's all there. That's the key. It is all there. Don't give up on people when they've received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's all there. They've got it all. It's a matter of God nourishing them. You know, you can pray that God rains on them, that God causes a desire to grow up inside of them, that people come along and speak life to them and continue to water. And all of us need that. That's why we come together, to water one another, to nourish one another, to encourage one another with words of life and encouragement. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Jesus. Often we think that coming into salvation, and this is a unrealistic view, but people think that they're not going to have any more problems after they accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And Tony Evans says, peace does not mean you won't have any problems. Peace means that your problems won't have you. That's a good thought. Hallelujah. And that reminded me of a story I had read about a man who was in this high anxiety state. And he was really struggling. He went to the doctor and he said, you have to help me. I'm dying. Everywhere I touch, it hurts. I touch my head, it hurts. I touch my leg, it hurts. I touch my stomach, it hurts. I touch my chest, it hurts. You have to help me, doc. Everything hurts and I'm dying. And so the doctor gave him a complete examination. And he said to him, Mr. Smith, I have good news for you and I have bad news for you. The good news is that you are not dying. The bad news is you have a broken finger. And sometimes life is like that. You know, the good news is there's glory ahead for every believer. There's victory in Jesus Christ. But the bad news is sometimes you have to go through some pain to get to where you're going. Hallelujah. So the peace that's offered to us, the scripture says, God's favor rests upon us. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. We may still have circumstances that don't go our way, and we may have challenging relationships to navigate. Somebody say amen. But what it does promise is the presence of God in our lives. And if he is with us, then there's nothing to fear. We can go to him for guidance, for strength, and we can lean on him. In the Hebrew, the word rest means to actually lean upon. We can go to him, we can lean on him when we get weary, because he promises to bind up our wounds when we're hurt. So God desires to make peace with ourselves. He wants us to make peace with ourselves. If you've made past mistakes, you have personal struggles, or you worry for the future, God has a love and a grace for you. And he wants you to be in peace, because God is a forgiving God. And when we come to recognize the grace that he's given to us, our hearts are transformed. And in that transformation, we begin to offer grace to other people. The less grace you offer to other people, the less transformed your heart is. It's a measuring stick according to the scripture. Our hearts are transformed towards others as God's grace transforms us. So as we get closer and closer to Christmas, we want to move through this season staying focused on God's great gift to each one of us and the true meaning of Christmas. His peace covers over our past. It covers over our present. And His peace is promised for our future. So, three things. The peace of God is for all people. Jesus reconciles us to God. And the third thing is, peace is our purpose. Like I said before, what the world needs is more people to have the peace of God in their hearts and being willing to share that peace. And you know, it's not optional for us to embody this peace. I believe it's an expectation that Jesus has of each one of us as His followers. It's to walk in peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He said in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." So the angels told the shepherds that peace was available to those on whom God's favor rests. And Jesus said something similar when He said this in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." So when we're willing to seek reconciliation with others and actually fight for harmony rather than sowing dissension, we're identified with the heart of God. I believe the scripture says, above all other things, seek peace. Seek peace. That's what we're to do. To look like the Father, we'll be recognized as His children and in His family when we are operating with the peace that God gives us that passes understanding. So God desires for us to be in right relationship with Him and with ourselves. You've got to be at peace with yourself and with others. And that's the very reason Jesus Christ came to earth, was so that we could have peace. Without Jesus, there is no peace. And you know, it's sad that there are many people who do not value peace in relationships. And so, like, they're in a constant state of conflict. Some people are looking for a fight because they're not in one. And it reminds me what Linus said to Charlie Brown in A Charlie Brown Christmas. Harold probably knows this line. Linus said, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." So Jesus' birth offers us peace in the middle of difficulties and stresses. And remember, peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the presence of Christ. And one of my favorite scriptures from Romans 16:20, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." Once again, to crush is to completely shatter, to break to pieces. The God of peace is a warrior. He will fight for your peace. Come on, He will fight on your behalf. If you desire peace from God that passes your understanding, God will fight on your behalf because He is the only one who can crush and destroy Satan. He is the only one that sees the plans and the schemes of the enemy that's coming against you. He's the only one that hears those talks behind your back of people trying to destroy you and take you out and cut you off. God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise this morning. He'll crush him under your feet. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you just got to stand up, and that's an old song we used to sing. You probably know it, Jeff. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Hallelujah. And just declare the word of God. Because the plans of the enemy will not prosper when God is fighting for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. He will accomplish his plans in each one of you. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We have some responsibility in this scripture. He's saying, let not your heart be troubled. You can't let your heart be troubled. You got to work on that, right? Those thoughts come in, those thoughts need to go out. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So we're going to close this message, hallelujah. This Christmas, may we be people who embrace the gift offered to us through Jesus, who died for us, so that we might live in right relationship with God and ourselves and others. There's a couple challenges that I put in here. If you want this outline, you should have gotten it on your email. If you're not on the email list, see Cindy. She emails out the PowerPoint outline. But the challenge is, think about ways in which you can be a peacemaker. On the second is, take time to share with God the stresses of your life and trust that his favor is on you today. He longs to bring you peace. It's what he gave his life for. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of peace, Lord. I pray for everyone under my voice, Lord, that they receive this gift today and recognize that it's for them. And Lord, I pray that River of Life family and all those connected to us, Lord, will grab a hold of everything that you have for each one of us, Lord. Everything that you have, your promises, your blessings, your benefits. Lord, even in the midst of our trials, and I know many are going through some difficult struggles, in the midst of it all, Lord, we declare you are our Prince of Peace, and you will crush Satan underneath our feet in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. Give the Lord another praise. Thank you, Lord.